Well, welcome to a very special episode, and hopefully a regular episode, of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Myself, Patrick Connelly, and Fran Berry are going to be looking ahead most, if not every Friday, to the Dundalk All-Weather Winter Series. It is a really horrible sign that winter is coming, Fran Berry.
Yeah, look, it's the only upside really to the winter coming is Dundalk coming back, isn't it? Because, the evenings are closing in and, you're going to be stuck with us every Friday, I think, talking about horses running around Dundalk, PK. Yeah. So.
Well, you do go up there every Friday. It's a lovely little earner for you, Fran. I tell you what, you and Kevin are right. What would you do? Would you be able to pay for heating bills if there wasn't Dundalk?
I'm telling you, it's the one thing in the week when you've had a quiet week, the weather's crap and everything else, get in the car on a Friday, go up and have a bit of crack and Chinese on the way home. And once or twice, we haven't quite made it all the way home either. So it can be a bit of fun, yeah.
Chinese on the way, that's a late Chinese now. You'd be digesting that overnight. Like the last race is usually half eight.
It's not the way forward at all, eating a Chinese quarter 11 at night, especially when Kevin wants a starter as well, pre the main course. So it's not good, but it's good fun.
A starter, come on, he's treated like a three-course meal. And I passed you by on various race courses when yourself and Kevin are on, not just Dundalk. There's always a couple of cans of Coke there as well. I tell you, you lads are full of sugar and MSG now doing this.
Big time. I wouldn't touch fizzy drinks during the week. And then when you get on air and you have a bit of fun, yeah, you need the sugar levels up for them eight race cards. So curry chips are quite good in Dundalk as well. So
that is true. I've had them and a few sausages as well. It's not bad. Right, we're going to have a cracking series, hopefully, myself and Fran looking up and providing winners. Before we get stuck into Dundalk, I just want to remind you that by the time you listen to this podcast, there is a chance. And if not, do check later on paddypower.com for the weekend pick five, Paddy's pick five. Now, this is pick five winners over the course of Saturday afternoon. I don't know the races yet, but they will be listed on the website. And the great news is it wasn't won last weekend. So it's 100 grand. It's free to play. It's a free shot at 100 grand or a share of it. I'm going to guess that Air is going to feature heavily on this weekend's Paddy's Pick Five, but that's just me guessing. So do check it out. It's a free shot at winning a share or indeed 100 grand. Have you done it yet, Fran?
No, but I'm definitely going to sign up for it because 100 grand this Saturday wouldn't be bad at all. And I'm in Goran Park anyway. That won't be any easier to find winners, I'd say.
No, it won't. Now, you're a Racing TV employee or you know, there's no conflict of interest here. You doing this?
I'll be a freelancer if I win it on Saturday. Fair. Don't worry.
Yeah. Francis with an E, Berry.
Exactly. Mrs. Berry.
Mrs. Berry claiming seven. Claiming 100 grand is what she be doing. So that's Paddy's pick five to come this weekend. Right, we're going to look ahead to some dog as the first meeting of the winter series. Before we get stuck in, I'm going to throw some questions at you, Fran, while we're going through these races, because you've been up there every Friday now for the last however many years. First question I want to ask you, what are the three most important things when trying to find a winner at Dundalk?
Oh, draw, pace, and recent form often stacks up very well. But on draw, it's not just about low draws. You tie pace in with it. There's a couple of horses I'll be recommending on this show for tomorrow night that will be drawn out wide. But I do think the horses around them going forward will bring them into the race. Jockeyship as well. When you're dealing with Billy Lee, Colin Keane, you have a chance. You know, these guys can make a difference at getting out of gates, getting a position from what on paper, what would look an ordinary draw. Starts, 6 furlong start and the mile and a quarter start to draw really does come into play, maybe more so than the 7 furlong or mile card. But it's a combination of things. And I think the starts are nearly more important than the finish. With the slip rail at Dundalk now, it's very, very fair running. You can see the way they fan across the track. Most horses in the straight get a clear run into it, but it's all about getting out of gates, getting a position. If you get behind the wrong horse, they can take you out of race. And, you know, I think jockeyship and definitely being aware of what's happening around you counts for a lot. And, you know, I'd definitely be looking to the better riders up here through the winter months.
Fair enough. When Dundalk first came on the scene a couple of years ago now, Ger Lyons made hay. He was the trainer to follow. Not necessarily anymore. He's obviously found his niche with Group 1 horses now on turf. But have you noticed anything in the last couple of seasons regarding trainers who've gone well? Maybe one that hopefully give us a few nice prize winners?
Yeah, look, there's two ways of going at it, I suppose. Joseph O'Brien targets Dundalk. He runs a lot of horses there. He runs them in trials during the summer months. And look, his course record is very strong there. He's leading trainer nowadays, but his maidens can often be a little bit of value, particularly if Aidan, Aidan will have a few runners up on Christmas. I love backing Joseph up in Dundalk. If they show promise on debut, they'll improve enough to win the next day. That's a big angle in the maiden company. And John McConnell, he's a trainer well worth watching at Dundalk. He can have maiden winners, but generally his horses are in handicaps. And if they win once, they usually rack up a sequence and keep improving. We've seen through the summer months how well he's done in the UK, and he's very adept at placing his horses. And Henry de Bromhead doesn't run too many in Dundalk, but when he runs them, I'd have maximum respect for him.
Okay, there's three trainers to watch out for. Joseph O'Brien, Henry de Bromhead, when he has runners, the likes of Star Girls Al Mal. Didn't she win her maiden here, wasn't it? She was a stunning winner. Maiden,
yeah, that was a good night actually up there. She trialed well before she ran there. So we cheered all the way down the straight. So.
And these trials, for those who are newish to the game, these are barrier trials, which those who've been to Hong Kong, obviously those who and Australia as well, these are kind of common. Basically, they're races, but they're not official races, correct?
That's it. And it's meant to be a showcase to try and sell a horse abroad on the back of that. They're live streamed. You can look at the replays in Irish Thoroughbred Marketing, but generally now trainers are running there to have a practice run to go to the track. And, it's a little niche that's become a bit too well known now, if you like, but it's a good angle.
Oh, it's a shame. Yeah, so you had the angle there when Star Girls on that one, obviously. But it does seem they're actually mentioned in some of the Racing Post spotlights now. So yeah, unfortunately, it's gone. Now we'll just have to find where the schooling races at home are. That's the next one. Right, let's look ahead to night number one at Dundalk. We're going to kick off with the 4.55. It's actually the most valuable race on the card. It's the Irish Stallion Farms EBF race. It's a two-row race over 5 furlongs. Aidan O'Brien has a runner in Congo River. And most of these, I think, are making their all-weather debut. Congo River, one of those. Wayne Lord could have a good night. He's on board. You've also got Jessica Harrington with Invincible Cry. You've also got Kieran Cotter, who's capable of a two-year-old winner, Maggie McGrath, and Charming Lady, who's already won, as well as Don't Spoil a Sale. Right, Fran, we're going to kick off Winter Series, Dundalk 2022-2023 with the winner, please. Off you go.
Going to keep it very simple there, PK. Number 3, Congo River, will be very hard to beat on ratings. He's £18 well in with what will be his market rival, Don't Spoil a Sale. Like Don't Spoil a Sale's attitude, jumps, travels strongly, will give it a good go. Conga River on the all-weather surface, though, is very interesting. It's by Mendelssohn, who was exceptional on the dirt, and his connections, obviously, didn't really know what trip he wanted. He ran over 7 furlongs in Galway soft ground, but since dropping down to the 5.5 furlongs at Navan, he travelled strongly. He went to the front. He probably gave the race away inside the last 100 metres, but I do think dropping down to 5 furlongs here, racing around a bend on a surface that he should be better at, he will be very hard to beat here.
Fair enough. Congo River to kick us off with a winner. Probably going to be odds on, maybe just a shade. We'll see what kind of price he is. I'm going to throw one off script for you then, Fran. You mentioned a sire. Give me a sire to follow then at Dundalk. Are there a few sires who you think, they run better at Dundalk than they do on turf? Or is it just basically kind of similar?
Yeah, there's a couple that I wouldn't like in Dundalk. The likes of Make Believe. A couple of the horses that we discussed here with running really well in soft ground, when they get off the grass now, we'll highlight a few over the coming weeks that maybe run well in on the turf on testing ground or going to Dundalk. Dragon Pulse, Sire Love on soft ground, his progeny on the all weather. They're just two examples where you can flip it around and say they'll excel on the grass, but getting to Dundalk, they might not transfer that form to that surface.
My assumption would have been that the all weather would ride quick, but obviously you're suggesting that soft ground horses can go well on the all weather.
Yeah, going at once, maybe twice, and then they don't let themselves down as much. So there's little kinks to it, if you like. But it's all about the individual, and that's why I suppose video analysis comes into the judge. Are they heavy action? Do they have much knee action? And go from there.
Oh my word. There's a lot of study that goes in. Those are serious notes there beside Kevin Ryan. He clearly is winging it. As far as he's, oh my God. Okay, so for this podcast, you didn't see what Fran just showed me, but John Motson will be proud of the sheet that you've done. I like your colour coding as well. What does the red mean versus the green?
There's no real method to it at all, but it's I like highlighters and like scribbling.
Clearly. You've just gone through about 5 or 6 before every meeting. Okay, Congo River going to win the opening race of the card. The second race is a nice-looking maiden for 2 rows over 6 furlongs, the RCBF Meaden median rather sire series maiden. This means that depending on who you're bred by carries how much weight. Again, we've got an Aidan O'Brien runner, a pop star Wayne Norton on board, but Paddy Toomey, of course, had a big winner group one at the Matron Stakes at the weekend. Araniti in those Team Valor silks. Other interesting runners we mentioned, Henry de Bromhead and Star Girls Almal. I think the same colours are represented here by Henry's Bird of Prey with Chris Hayes on board. Nice little maiden. And the top rated of those who've got rated is Jack Davison's Thunder Bear, Colin Keane on board. Right, winner number two, please.
Yeah, Thunder Bear is the key to this race for me. He's drawn it in stall 16. He's the pace angle, and I'd expect him under Colin Keane to go forward, and that'll bring number stall 14, Araniti, into the race. Billy Lee rides for Paddy Toomey. She shaped very well on debut for trainer Natalie Lupini, and Billy Lee must have recommended her to Paddy Toomey to buy, because her next start was for Paddy Toomey at Navan 2 weeks ago, and that was a really good run. I think time will tell the horse to beat her executive decision is quite smart, and her long way clear to third on the day. Better ground here, a sounder surface with the benefit of that initial outing and getting a lot of weight off a likely market arrival Popstar. We'll see Araniti very hard to beat. Popstar is also out wide in stall 12, and Bird of Prey is out in stall 10. So I think with Thunder Bear likely to go forward and get a bit of pace into the race, Araniti should travel well and get a decent off pitch from out there, and will be hard to beat getting the weight.
Okay, another winner for Paddy Toomey after what was he had lots of runners over the weekend, but he got his group one, didn't he, in the big one, the Matron, or one of the big races. Before we get on to race number three, Fran Berry, did they make the right decision with Baid going to the Champion Stakes?
I would love to see him go for the arc, but I do think we're dealing with business considerations, probably more so than the romantic heart overhead stuff, because he's such a key horse for Shadwell to keep going as an operation. He's going to be the cash cow as a stallion for the next number of years. So I think they've played it safe, maybe too safe. I thought the arc was on, and I'm surprised they ruled it out so soon, if that makes sense. I thought, you can make a decision to Tuesday before the arc, ground wise, how the horse is. British Champions Day could end up being a bog, so it's not guaranteed at all that a 10 furlong trip on testing ground will really play to his strengths. Or will they drop him back to mile on the day? Who knows? But it's sad. Yeah, it's sad. I was disappointed to read that. If you had him and Luxembourg and a couple of the Japanese horse lining up, you're really set for a big race.
Yeah, I will be getting your thoughts close to time on Title Holder, because he's a horse who catches the eye and could be the first Japanese winner of the arc.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
From the arc to a first division of a three-year-old handicap, 47 to 65. We're going to see a lot of these between now and March. This is going to be wide open, as you would expect. Cousin Shay could be fancied. You mentioned John McConnell. He had a winner on the beach at Laytown with a horse called Bringstee, runs later on tonight. He might make the market, but sure, look, market moves always catch the eye here. What are your thoughts, Mr.?
Yeah, look, Cousin Shay was a big gamble back in January and he just got beat. He was quite green on that occasion, and I can see that he's well handicapped coming here today, but I haven't seen him on the track since then. You wonder why he hasn't been running on the grass, and he's probably best to watch here unless the market really speaks in his favour. Stalled 16, he's actually got a good makeup into the race. Stalled 15, Helmet Star, who made all to win at Gorham Park, will conceivably get him across into a decent position. But there's one that I'm really drawn to, is number 4, Miss Abby Jules, trained by Mick Halford. You go down through her form, you're thinking, what are you thinking, Fran? She's had 4 runs to date and was beaten 10 lengths on her last start at Sligo in a competitive handicap, similar grade. She's by Cody Bear, though. She wouldn't get her trip around Sligo over 10 furlongs, I think, in a horse box. She jumped, she travelled strongly, she was still there at every chance, furling and a half out, just paid a price for that late on stamina came into the equation. Go back to her run at Roscommon, 2 starts before that when she was 4th, beating 5¾ lengths in June, and also run at Decorah afterwards wasn't bad at all. Trainer does very well in the all weather, she's drawn in stall 1, bit speculative maybe, but I'd be back in her tomorrow night.
Hello. Right, now we're operating before prices for Paddy's traders, and Frank Aiken have got their job done. One, I always check irishtracing.com because they often have a tissue. Now, this is absolutely in no way what the price will be. It is a guess, But they have her in at 33-1. Now, come on, Fran. This will kick off the podcast on the right note. 33-1. That's the tissue price. Wonder if Frank's listening. If Frank's listening, maybe she'd be half that. Miss Abby Jules in the 6 o'clock will go each way on that.
I'm sure we're getting an extra place as well, aren't we?
Oh, well, again, I don't know, Fran. I don't know. So I can't promise you anything, but check paddyfairy.com. Brilliant for the extra places, no doubt, or pop into a shop. Second division of the same handicap. And again, looking at the market, looking at the horses here, the Bog Bank for Tom McCourt, who had a lovely winner over Jumps actually recently up north. The Bog Bank, he goes well here. It's one over the course and distance. He might make the market, Fran.
Yeah, look, Bog Bank is very consistent, and she lost Dundalk, and three starts ago was a very good winner there, but is just handicapped to what she is, I think. You know, could be vulnerable to a couple of improvers, and we got two here, PK, that really catch the eye. And we start with the more exposed rival. It'd be number 9, Stop on Red. Multiple winner on the track. He had a great time of things there last year. He hasn't been running as well on the grass, and as a consequence, he's dropped right down the ratings here tonight. Back in the all-weather, he was a big eye-catcher at Bellistown last time, doing his best work late on, and he's definitely shaping like he's ready to win. An apprentice was on board last time. He's got Declan McDonough on board this time. To me, that signals it's all systems go back at a track that he loves. However, I'm really drawn to Scipio's Defence, number 3, trained by Johnny Murta. You go back through his back form in maidens at Dundalk last November and December, and again at Gorham Park when he was just a couple lengths off Blazing Skies, who's rated 74 now. Scipio's Defence gets into this handicap off market 63, been dropped £5 for his handicap debut on ground that wouldn't have suited him at Killarney. I think he's going to be very hard to beat. Scipio's Defence to beat Stop on Red.
Lovely. That would be a huge price forecast. I can tell you that right now. That would be outrageous. Never mind Paddy's pick 5 on Saturday. Scipio's Defence, number 3 in the car. Ben Cohen and Johnny Murta has mentioned a Stop on Red. I wrongly called the Bog Bank a he. She is indeed a she. Thank you for correcting me.
I've had tweets off her owners about that actually.
Okay, it's definitely a she, the Bog Bank. I don't know why that name just says gelding to me, but anyway, she, absolutely correct, she. Sorry for the owners, and I'm sure they won't get in touch. I know the future son-in-law of the trainer as well, so I'm sure I'll be getting it as well. Right, move on to the 7 o'clock. This is the three-year-old upwards handicap, the View Restaurant at Dundalk Stadium. So that means you can go in, get your curry chips, and back a winner in this one. 7 furlongs is the trip. Again, looking at the potential market, you've got Ado McGuinness, who of course goes well. He's got Hod's Girl. Brinkstey, who Ado used to train and won for John McConnell on the Laytown Sand, is in this race. Another one who ran recently at Laytown as Royal Tribute. Thoughts, Fran?
Yeah, look, Brinkstey, he's quirky and he seemed to be lit up by Laytown last week. I'm very happy to watch him here. For all that maybe winning may give him the confidence to go on, but he's not one to be trusted at all. Ferrybank, number 9, trained by Ted Walsh. He lost 5 or 6 lengths out of gates at the Curragh in an apprentice race last time, and he did finish off really well. He's down £11 since last win, and he does like Dundalk. He's definitely one to watch, maybe more so with a view to the future, just see how he shapes again here in the all-weather. Dandyville, stall 2, likely pace angle with Wayne Lorden riding for Natalie Lupini, will go very well. And I'm hoping that Dandyville will give my selection number 5, So Unique, a good lead into the race. This ex-UK trained her, formerly trained the UK, had 4 wins on the all-weather over there for Stuart Williams. Ran really well at Roscommon last time on a second start for Kieran Murphy, finishing 2nd to Mullacash Buzz, who got away in the speed a bit, if you like. And with a good lead into the race, conceivably from Dandyville, back on a surface where his best form in the UK was So Unique will be hard to beat with Colin Keane riding.
Lovely winner for Colin Keane, potentially with So Unique, and watch out for Dandyville as well. That's the 7 o'clock. Let's move on to the 7:30. This one for apprentices, over 1.5 miles. Again, looking at the potential top of the market, there's very excellent for Andrew McNamara. Jack Carney takes a ride on that one. We're keeping an eye again for some of these up and coming jockeys. You've got Rob Wirtie's in this race. Siobhan Rutledge, he's ridden a few winners around here before. Good association. Jamie Powell, if this race is run at the Curragh, he'd be a cert, but it's up at Dundalk. I'm not sure how many winners he's had at Dundalk, but what a jockey is at the Curragh. What are your thoughts on this one?
Hardest race of night to assess in that we've a couple of ex-German trained horse in it. Matthew Smith does very well at Dundalk, and he also does very well with ex-German horse. So keep an eye on number 5, Noxerino, who's got interesting form on the all-weather in Deauville, and could be an improver. Maybe best watching this. You see the mark of moves. Very excellent. Great course record. Not sure a mile and a half around her place. His strengths, 10 and a half furlongs, does seem to be the sweet spot for him. And I've landed on number 8, Evernock Fizz, a winner over Hurls a couple of starts ago. She got dropped £6 in a handicap after running in a higher grade or more competitive race, if you like, at the Curragh last time. She also ran really well back at the track in March, and she could conceivably be ready to go, more ready to go than some of her rivals here today. I will definitely be watching number 5, Knox Arena, with a view to the future. And a couple of the UK imports, Meritorious, trained by John McConnell, is worth a look, as is Construct, who might want further. But tonight, Evernock Fizz is the one.
Yeah. It sounds lukewarm. I must say, Knox Arena caught my eye as well. I think 4-time winner in the all-weather on the continent. So very interesting to see if that's strong in the market for Matthew Smith. Right, back to the conditions races. 8 o'clock is a 3-year-old upwards, a mile and a half conditions races. 5 entered or declared for it. Gulliver's Travels, Raiden O'Brien and Wayne Lorden comes in off a maiden win. You've got Joseph also representing Coolmore with World Famous. Longbourn is the top rated for Ross O'Sullivan. And Dalby is the only one who's won here for James McCauley, but not well treated. I suppose Gulliver's Travels, we would expect improvement from that maiden win, but he has it to do on ratings, just.
He does. I don't think we've seen the best of him. He's very, very lazy, leery, and just does what he has to do. And I thought last time Wayne Lorden was exceptional on him. He got him out, really got him motivated. And I must admit, I did back him, and the last 3 furlongs down the straight were heart in the mouth stuff. But Wayne got him home, and look, he's not entirely straightforward, but I do think switching to the all-weather with a likely good pace angle, if you like, in a race, Longbourn and World Famous should go along with, even for a small field at an even gallop. That'll give Wayne some game at long straight and Dundalk. I think Gulliver's Travels will be very hard to beat.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be a good night for Aidan O'Brien and Wayne Lorden. Potential double on the card for them. One more race. It's the 8:30, the concluding race on the card. Again, a handicap over a mile and a quarter. We're going to see a lot of these over the course of the winter. Again, looking at the potential angles here, Spirituoso in great form. Jack Carney will ride. You got Ragtime Red as well, a horse who comes here probably not in the worst form, having won that last time out. Anthony McCann, he can train a few winners here. You'll recognise these colours, the colours carried by many horses down the years by a certain County Monaghan trainer. And Anthony McCann has taken over those Regis Shah runners. But what are you thinking?
Yeah, very competitive race. And I suppose one horse to mention straight away is number 9, Baby Bubbles. First run for Jerry Keane. Was well backed at this track last winter and was beaten by a slow start and a wide draw. Very interesting now, making his debut with Colin Keane riding. However, on that occasion, it was a mile and a half and it looked like she needed every yard of a mile and a half. So I'd be watching that maybe more so with a view to the next day, Baby Bubbles. You have Ragtime Red, likely pace angle. He can go forward and will be hard enough to beat. He beat Spirituoso, who, of course, went on to win at Navan. However, there's one lurker in here, PK. It's number 5. Cleopatra's Needle, trained by Harry Rogers, rated 72 in April running in a maiden at Bellistown, where she did shape very well and ran a really good race at Leopardstown in July, not getting much luck in running. And last time with Roscommon, travelled like a winner over a mile and a half before fading inside a final furlong and a half. Back to 10 and a half furlongs here with Billy Lee booked again. Stall 13 looks like a filly that will take her time and work her way through the field. I'm prepared to forgive the draw. I think the potential's there and she'd be hard to beat.
Excellent. So Harry Rogers, Cleopatra's Needle in the last, the 8:30, which only remains now as we wrap up to get your best bet and your next best on the card. Right, so best bet on the card, night one. Let's kick off with a winner, Fran.
Kick off with a winner. We'll go with So Unique, race 5.
So Unique, win only?
Win only, race 5, yeah. And lovely.
Next
best will be Miss Abby Jewel's race 3. And,
massive price. And each way, I'd like to have to go each way on that one.
All day long, yes.
Miss Abby Jewel's in the 6 o'clock, the next best at a very, again, we don't know the prices now, but I won't say anything to traders, Fran. You can just keep refreshing, paddyfair.com. You just keep refreshing, see, wait for those prices to come up.
Exactly. And look, Aidan O'Brien should have a good evening. He should win with Congo River and Gulliver's Travels. That could be a double for the shorter price ones. Either them under best days will be hard to beat.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Fran, let's hope this is the beginning of a wonderful relationship we're going to be seeing. I mean, by March next year, I want you to figure out who's better, Kevin O'Ryan or PK. And that's that is the main thing. I know I won't win, And I know I don't work as hard. I know that much. No way. But anyway, that we'll have a bit of crack. We'll knock a bit of crack at it over the winter. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back hopefully next week. Do let us know what you think. You can either tweet me, actually tweet Fran, and let him know what you think of this podcast. And we'll keep it going for the winters as best we possibly can. Pop into the shop. We'll get Fran's videos up there as well. Fran, enjoy your trip up to Dundalk, first of many. Don't forget to you know, get the mileage in. For Ace and TV.
Need it, yes.
Oh, I tell you what, it'll be when they get the bill next March, they'll be like, oh, no, this isn't worth it. We'll get him to do it from home. and paying for his Chinese? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I need to get through the winter with the Chinese. No, that's the next job.
Well, they'd be going under if you weren't going up there anyway, but it sounds things still. Don't forget, do Paddy's Pick 5. Check out the Paddy Power website, see if the races are out. Fran, we will talk to you next week. Enjoy the weekend.
Pleasure. Thank you.